Welcome, everyone, to the Cup of Coffee podcast with me, your host, Tom Dillon. This has been recorded live at our weekly online meeting and broadcast around the world. Today's topic is freedom through property, with multiple speakers, such as the lovely Julie Talbot, Sam Gaskin, Howard and Kathy, Howard Kane and Kathy Bradley, and then I might say a few words as well, Tom Dillon. So, before we start, I'd just like to say, by way of a disclaimer, that today is a wonderful discussion, but that nothing said here constitutes financial advice, and you should always take professional advice before investing your hard-earned cash. There may be the odd unplanned swear word along the way as well. The format for today is unusually that we'll have shorter talks because we want more people, and then we'll also have some questions from the floor, a bit of Q&A, possibly even a bit of banter will break out, but of course you can't plan for that, so you can never legislate for banter. So we'll see what happens. That's essentially what it is. It's loosey-goosey and in a very good way, one I'm excited to be loosely at the helm of. We're going to talk about all kinds of different bits of freedom and what freedom means, and I'm going to try and not do Mel Gibson impressions. We might be talking about things, for example, like time freedom, location freedom, and the classic one that gets bandied around, financial freedom, what that means to our speakers. And I think also, I think what's going to be more interesting than us going, look at our wonderful lives, they're better than yours, which I know isn't the case anyway, but it's more about the challenges, like, is it worth it? What kind of freedom can you go for? Can you get all the freedoms? Can I have a big bag of freedom, please? like one large bag of freedom, please. You know, how does this whole thing work, and what have been people's different experiences and journeys been? Right, enough from me. Let's crack on. Julie, this was your idea. I'm trying to blame this on you. How are you doing, and what have you got for us?
Oh, freedom. I'm doing good, thank you. Excited to talk about this. It's something that most people I speak to be honest, say that they're working towards, or striving towards some type of freedom. But, you know, I find that everyone's version of freedom is different. There's no one like standard bag of freedom, right? It's all different to each of us. And I love asking people like what their version of freedom looks like, because everyone's is totally different. So the main ones obviously are time freedom, location freedom, or financial freedom. And yeah, like I say, most people are working towards one of those. And the conventional path that I tend to find is, you know, people work towards financial freedom first. Because then logically, once you've got financial freedom, then you've got the money to be able to get yourself time freedom by putting a, you know, a team in place and systemizing, et cetera, et cetera. And then once you've done that, then you can get location freedom and travel and, you know, do the things that you want, right? That tends to be the conventional sort of route. And I suppose my path and choices have been a little bit different. So that was kind of like what I was going to share a little bit on today. I've found that it is possible to choose time freedom and location freedom first and have those in place whilst you're striving towards and working towards financial freedom through through property. So basically, if you want to grow your UK property portfolio in the UK whilst you're out of the UK, then that's your choice. You can, you know, you can do that. So just for a bit of context, I suppose. Since 2017, well, I've been an expat, or had been an expat living outside of the UK since 2009. Not that you can tell from my accent, which is still straight out of Salford. But I've been out of the UK since 2009, and I kind of believed that I couldn't, you know, really grow my portfolio whilst I was outside of the UK. But since 2017, I've overseen 30 property projects, so nothing crazy, 30 property projects virtually, you know, sourced them. Some of them have been for me, some have been for investors, managed the tenancies without flying back to the UK. It wasn't the easiest thing in the world to do. So, you know, just in terms of why I chose to do that. Firstly, we lived in Abu Dhabi anyway, my husband's job and his career, and you know, we didn't want to leave there. I had what I thought was the perfect job, working only 18 hours a week, doing something else, not property related, trying to just save a bit of money to, you know, buy another house at some time in the future, basically. But we had a death in the family, which, you know, as these things do, turns life, you know, upside down. We came back to the UK for a funeral, decided to stay in the UK for 6 months. So my small income from, you know, my 18 hours a week disappeared overnight. Our costs soared like a rock. But the only thing that was coming in for me was the property income. And I thought, I've got to find a way of creating more income like that, because life gets turned upside down, right? So that was what focused me on wanting to do more with property. But I wanted to maintain the freedom that I had, because we already lived in Abu Dhabi. I didn't want to leave Abu Dhabi. So I wanted to grow my property portfolio and carry on living in Abu Dhabi. And, you know, I spent a lot of time with my family, and I wanted to carry on being a present parent, you know, working limited numbers of hours, you know, being able to make every school pickup basically and attend every school show and, you know, roll with the holidays and all that kind of stuff without having to rely on huge amounts of childcare, but scale a property portfolio at the same time. So you might say I wanted to grow a property portfolio with time and location freedom. That was kind of like my restarting point. You could say I was stubborn. So they were kind of like my rules, right? I wanted to make every school pick up, not worry about childcare, and I didn't want to fly back to the UK, but grow my income from property and my property business. So one of the main things that I kind of like found at that stage was that my own beliefs and assumptions were kind of like were stopping me and holding me back. So, you know, a lot, I believed, and a lot of people would, you know, would just say, oh, you know, you can't buy a house without flying back to the UK. Oh, you can't get a mortgage if you're, you know, if you're an expat and not working. Oh, as an expat, you can only buy new build off plan schemes because they're the easiest and best things for you to buy. So these were all these assumptions that either I made or beliefs that people were throwing at me, which was stopping me make any kind of progress. So the first thing I had to do was to stop believing some of these things, right? And just, you know, start to think positively and think, how can I grow a property portfolio without flying back to the UK, rather than I can't grow a property portfolio because I'm not in the UK. So mindset and possibility thinking was a big thing. So I want you to believe that if you want to do, you know, if you want to live outside of the UK, because not everyone does. Like my version of freedom, I'm not saying it's the right way, but I just, you know, want to share that it is possible if you want something similar. So if you choose to have time and location freedom first whilst you're working towards financial freedom, what does it mean? Well, it means you need to be intentional about how you do things. You need to have intentionally choose or design an operating model, like decide at the start how you're going to do things. Because if you're in the UK, if you're choosing not to have location freedom, if you're in the UK, you're probably more likely to be hopping in your car and driving around everywhere to do everything, right? But if you want to be outside of the UK or regularly traveling, then you just can't do that. So you've got to be intentional and choose from the start how you're going to do things, because, you know, flights are expensive. You also need to choose what you're not going to do. And in some ways, this is where not being in the UK makes things kind of easier, because for a small while in 2009, I lived in London and bought a property in Manchester. And I drove up and down that M6, like I wore it out doing all sorts. Like I'd go up to Manchester to strip the walls and drive back down to London and go up to Manchester, you know. So, but if you've got location freedom, if you're living somewhere else, it kind of forces you to be a bit more creative in how you get things done, because you're not there. You can't just jump on a plane and fly back. And the further you are away from the UK, the more motivated you are to be creative and finding solutions. And if you want, depending on how much time freedom and location freedom you want, you need to be creative and choose certain ways of tech and having a certain type of tech setup and a bit of backup as well, because you become totally reliant on your devices to run your business. So, you know, I've had to make sure we've got extra battery packs, and you know, I always make sure I can run my business from my phone or the computer, which is a really good job, because a few months ago in Sri Lanka, my laptop cable got fried during the power surge, which meant I couldn't charge my laptop. And funnily enough, it was pretty difficult to buy a charger for my computer in Sri Lanka at the time, given we were in the tea hills in the middle of nowhere. So for 6 weeks, I was able to run my business from my phone, luckily, because all the apps and things that I use are totally on my phone. So again, it just comes back to just having a bit of intention about, you know, choosing how you want to do things and how you want to run your business. So you end up, I have this analogy really, you end up, if you choose time and location freedom, you know, as your priorities first, and to have those whilst you're striving for location freedom, you end up building like a virtual property machine, basically. You know, a machine is a way of creating a desired output that meets your requirements. So you end up creating a way of growing a property portfolio that fits in with your life and your requirements, whatever requirements they may be, whether, you know, time freedom, location freedom, you know, and the specifics of that. So, yeah, like I say, what it all boils down to really is knowing what freedom you want, and then you can be intentional about choosing how you do things and how you get your property output. So to distill it down into a few kind of like steps, if you want to build your own, you know, virtual property machine, it's a series of choices. I do talk about this quite a bit. As Tom said, I've got an article, I can ping the link over that I've co-written recently. But the first thing that I find is really important is mindset, because we can tell ourselves, you know, we can make assumptions about what is possible. We can believe what other people tell us about what's possible. So the first thing is to really think, you know, if you want to live overseas and grow a property portfolio at the same time, what's stopping you from doing that right now? What are those limiting beliefs that you're telling yourself or that other people are telling you that are stopping you from booking a ticket and going out there next week and thinking it's not possible? Secondly, be really intentional and choose the freedom that it is that you want first. You might want financial freedom first and then time and location freedom afterwards. You might want that, and that's an absolutely fine route. But it is possible to go for, say, location freedom first and go and sit on a beach or sit on a hill or sit in a ski resort and grow that property portfolio in the UK from your laptop whilst you're being somewhere that you really, really want to be. So be intentional and choose that freedom that you want. It becomes like a beacon. And I found that then when you're very clear which freedom you're aiming for first or which freedom you want to maintain, it guides the choices then of how you get things done in your business. So if you want location freedom, but you're not bothered about time freedom, you might be happy to do all the admin in your property business because you don't mind sitting behind your laptop on top of a hill somewhere or on a beach. Third thing, I found this super important, be really clear on your rules, like your lifestyle rules. So like I said, for me, it was, I didn't want to fly back to the UK. I wanted to make every school pick up, and I also didn't want my phone to ring. So they were my rules. I was very clear that, you know, that had to happen, and that, you know, I was going to grow do the property thing in spite of those. So again, it just helps you make decisions about the choices then that you subsequently make about how you get things done. So then the fourth thing, from that foundation of those kind of like choices, which is all about you and how you want to live your life, you can then make choices about how you're going to do things and what this virtual property machine of yours looks like. And it's not just the how, it's the who and the what. Like, what are you going to do? Who's going to do it? And how are you going to do it? It's like a little kind of like triangle, really. And then the fifth thing, just to kind of like, you know, cap that off, is just believe it. You can do it. If you think you can or you think you can't, you're right, you know, in the words of Henry Ford. So if you want location freedom, if you want to grow your UK property portfolio from outside of the UK whilst you're traveling with a backpack and homeschooling the kids like we are these days, then believe it. And you know, you can find a way if you choose to. That's me. I hope that's helpful.
Amazing stuff, and even better, your sound held all the way through. So wonderful stuff. I felt that was a few things occurred to me. Is that seemed like really great practical advice. I mean, I looked at my notes, and they were mostly just Gandhi quotes. And compare that to actual step by step how you might go about doing this. I found that really, really good, really inspiring. I wrote it down as a quote. I hope you don't mind me making a note of this. Although I've changed it slightly. Can you change quotes? I'm not sure. Maybe I made a new quote. But it says your intention becomes like a beacon. And I think that's true. You know, the times in my life where I've been most sort of determined to do something, it's not just that I become determined, it's that people spot that you're determined to do that thing, and they kind of get out your way, or even better, help you to try and lift you up towards that thing, you know. Yeah. I think that really, that's really true. The other thing that occurred to me is, holy Christ, I've got to follow that. Not immediately, but I'm not sure there's much left to say. I'm feeling sorry for the other speakers. I figure what we should do, I've decided this on the fly, because why not? That's the kind of man I am, is we'll get everyone to speak. That way everyone gets a slot, and then we'll lump all the questions together like some sort of hideous freedom blind date where we can ask contestant numbers 1, 2, 3, and 4. So I figure that's where we'll go if everyone's cool with that. We've already got some great questions coming in on the chat. Keep those coming, and then we'll lob those in whichever direction we see fit at the end. as well as getting, you know, other people's thoughts and shout outs if they want it, if people want to join in, that'd be good too. Why don't we crack straight into we decided Mr. Sam Gaskin's going to go next. Sam, why don't you tell us about us and about what freedom means for you and what you've been doing?
Sure. Yeah. Hi, everyone. So I'm Sam Gaskin. I've got a small property portfolio of HMOs and single lets in Manchester, Coventry, Stoke and Crewe. And I also run Confidence Property, which is an HMO lettings agency in Manchester. So, I've just been thinking through today's topic, freedom through property, and just to share some thoughts that came to my mind. So, first of all, I was introduced to the idea of financial freedom back in 2004 through Robert Kiyosaki and his Rich Dad Poor Dad book and the cash flow game, and the idea that your expenses are less than the passive income and escaping the rat race. And it all seemed quite exciting. And that's when I bought my first buy to let on the Worth Street in Accrington, and continued to grow my portfolio from there. But about 10 years later, I was in a corporate role and got to burnout with pressure, responsibility, not feeling valued, and that I was unable to make positive change. And there was just one incident where I just made a snap decision, like, okay, right, I'm going to go into property full time. And I didn't quite have my expenses covered, but it was just I was just a few properties away. And at that point, I kind of hit the target that I was after. So property, you know, allows you to replace your income, so you don't have to do a job you don't like, and you can choose to do what you love. And a realization for me is that that income figure doesn't need to be massive. You don't need to have millions. It could be as little as £2,000, £3,000 a month. It depends on your lifestyle, obviously, and your responsibilities. Another realization I've had more recently, when I've been on some of these property programs, one of the things you're taught is buy now and get paid forever. And so I've kind of thought that, property is going to be my pension. I'm beginning to question that recently with changes in legislation, HMO additional licensing coming into Coventry. Some of the HMOs may no longer be viable to be run as HMOs. Energy prices increasing, renegotiating on some rent-to-rents that I've got that are coming up for renewal, the leases, we may lose them because we might not come to an agreement with the landlords. So that was just a recent realization that I had there. Time freedom is another one of the freedoms that Julie mentioned. So I now spend about 10 hours a week running the HMO lettings agency, and pretty much I get to choose when I work. I have some weekly one-to-ones with my team on a Monday morning, and I choose to work in the mornings, which is when I feel most productive. But then if I want to, you know, I can go out for a bike ride or play football with the kids, or if the wind forecast is good, then I'll go out for a blast, windsurfing on the lake, or work on the next business venture. And to get to that point with the business and the property, I mean, through property, you get the asset, you buy it, but then you get somebody else to manage it for you, whether that's an agent or somebody that works directly for you. And then in terms of the property business, you get there by systemizing and outsourcing. So two of my mentors that really helped me achieve that are Steve Day, who's, I believe, been on this podcast and runs the Systems for Outsourcing program. So a big shout out to Steve, and Josh Keegan, who's my mentor, runs UFD, Ultimate Financial Director. So Steve's really helped with the process of creating task templates, video guides, working with virtual assistants and outsourcing to them. And Josh has helped me with the more technical detail of creating and optimizing those systems, but also the high level kind of strategy side of it and things like logging your time. So that's a top tip, is So I use an app called Clockify on my browser. It's just a plugin on Chrome. And tracking my time and then categorize it as either red, amber, or green. So red is any time that you're doing business delivery tasks, you're actually doing the work. Amber is a business management, so you're actually managing other people to do that for you. And then green is business development tasks, so you're developing, bringing in sales or working on a new business, etc. And I monitor that every month, and then I look at the red tasks and look at the top one and work out how I'm going to systemize that this coming month. And the idea is to get, you bring the red down and you build the green up, and that's the way that you kind of get the time freedom and also increase your hourly rate, I guess. One of the keys to that as well is you have to let go. You have to let go of work. It's so easy, isn't it, to think that I know best, nobody can do this. Nobody can do it like how I want it to be done, especially if you like kind of a lordy kind of detailed person. Or it's just too much hassle to give to somebody else. I might as well do it. It's just going to be a few minutes, but all that adds up. And I remember the feeling when I first outsourced my first task to a virtual assistant, and they did that overnight, and the next day it was done. And it was just the realization that, oh my God, the possibilities here are endless. You can outsource pretty much everything. If you can do it on a computer, if somebody else can follow what you're doing with the right support, with monitoring, they can do it as well as you can, probably even better. And finally, so location freedom. I run a business in Manchester, portfolio in Manchester in the Midlands, but I could work from anywhere I choose. I'm currently in Spain. And that's thanks to building systems that don't rely on me and a team who are on the ground as trusted people. And it's also thanks to, technology, which has been accelerated by COVID, remote working. And we can do a lot more like we are right now, video networking, digital signing of documents, and so on. I just echo what Julie said, that it's absolutely possible. And in summary, for me, it's been a slow process working towards freedom, and I still am. Still work in progress, and I've always been in awe of people that can that achieve so much on these programs within a year. Unfortunately, that's not me. My message would just be, just do something consistently every day towards your freedom goals, learn from others, and surround yourself with inspiring and fun people.
Well, I got to follow that as well. Jesus Christ. Thanks, Sam. I think that was good. Really enjoyed that. I like the idea again. I think I'm paraphrasing, but like you said, sort of, how many more properties would you need to achieve the freedom that you want? And often the answer is fewer than you think. When you actually sit down and work it out, it feels unachievable, especially if maybe you're sitting there or listening to this with zero properties. You're like, oh, screw you guys, you're there with all these properties and all this freedom, but what have I got? Well, what you've got is the same thing we had to start with, which is not much, but like Sam says, if you keep going consistently, it doesn't take that much to get there or to get started, at least. Really good stuff. I also like the idea, which I've just crossed off my list of things to say, which was that it takes longer than it takes. Some people do it in 6 months, but depending what it is you're trying to achieve, often things that are worth achieving take a while and is a process. So I'd echo that as well. Right. It's weird not to ask questions. I'm not asking any questions. I'm going to move straight on to our to Howard and Kathy, and then come back to questions at the end. As I say, keep those questions coming in on the chat as well. Genuinely good ones there. We'll get to as many as we can. Howard and Kathy. Hello.
Morning, Tom. Morning. How are you?
Morning.
Good.
Excellent. I'm kind of in a lucky position because Tom gave me a little bit of a hint about what he might like me to speak about this morning. So I'm going to try and do that. But it does involve a spreadsheet, but I'm going to try and do it without the aid of the spreadsheet, Tom. So what I'm going to ask everyone to do is to kind of use their imaginations just a little bit as we kind of go through this. I totally get what Julie and Sam talked about, both of the upside and the challenges. I mean, they are so real. We're trying to build a project over in Hungary from here in the UK, and so we kind of understand that challenge of trying to do that at a distance, that's for sure. But I want to wind the clock back to 2014 for us, because 2014 was a big year of in our lives. Kathy and I got married in 2014, and then had a second ceremony, hand fasting ceremony later that year. And it got us thinking a lot about our future lives together and what we might think about doing in terms of financial situation. I've always worked. I always worked for somebody else. All of my working life, from 16 to 60, I worked for somebody else. And I liked work, and it's a drug. And you get drawn into such a nice sort of drug as work if you're doing engaging stuff. I never hated work. I always enjoyed it. But nevertheless, things are going to change. So what we did at the end of 2014, and this sounds slightly kind of crazy, is that we pulled up a spreadsheet, or we created a spreadsheet, and we put 20-odd columns in there from 2017 to 2037. And sort of said, okay, well, what happens from 2017 to 2037, or maybe it was 2014 to 2034, which would take me well into my dotage. And so that went across the top, and down the side, we put all of the things that generate income. So employment, self-employment, the existing property portfolio that we already had, the pensions that might turn up at some point. So all the potential sources of income we listed down one side, and then said, okay, well, what happens if we do nothing? If nothing changes and everything just runs as life kind of expects over those next 20 years? So I was retiring at 60. So what happens between 60 and my state pension kicking in at 66? What happens when the mortgage on that property finishes and we have to sell that property in order to repay the mortgage on it, because our property portfolio was all interest-only mortgages. And if we got that money and we just invested it at, well, what seemed reasonable then, 5%, what would that do in terms of our income? And so if we do nothing, we just take what we've got and run that for 20 years, what's going to happen? And at the end, you've got a number. And we took that number and we multiplied it by 80% to give us a kind of a net figure, net of kind of basic rate tax, and then compared that with what we needed over those 20 years. So what do we need over those 20 years? Now, for the accountants amongst you, we did not do any net present value calculations. We did no IRR calculations. We just ran it, no inflation, just kept the numbers simple. And we started with a financial security figure. In other words, what do we need to cover our day-to-day bills, to put food on the table, keep a roof overhead, pay the bills? And like Sam said, you know, it doesn't have to be a big number there. Your security, your actual security, can be quite a small number. Let's say £2,000 or £3,000. So you might drop in, say, £25,000 as your annual target in there and run that along. And you'll go, okay, well, I only need just about £2,000 a month. And by the looks of my spreadsheet here, it's actually going to deliver me no less than £2,000 a month for the next 20 years. Well, happy days. I've got nothing to worry about, have I? Everything is taken care of. Then you might go, okay, well, some of that kind of ties me into work. What if I kind of set a financial independence figure? And that might be higher. That might be, okay, I want to now add in what I would make from a full-time job. Maybe that would be $50,000 a year. And that would allow me to take, you know, the cruises, the holidays, the drive the nice car or whatever. And we ran that line across. So we had our financial security line running across. Then we had our financial independence line running across. And then there's the freedom line. And that's where it gets real tough. Julie's already touched on some of these things. But freedom isn't just about money. It might be about choice. It might be about time, location, getting up in the morning and deciding what your day is going to be. And everybody's number is going to be different. But let's imagine you had 25 for security and you needed 50,000 for independence, maybe your freedom figure is £100,000 a year. With £100,000 a year coming in, recurring income, you get to choose how you spend every day of your life, which would be nice. And then we ran that number across. And what we found was we were secure, but we were not independent, that there was a gap, that something had to change, that we needed to do something between 60 and 66, and then maybe again a little bit later on. We had to do something to plug the gap in that income. And I guess for us, the logical choice after 14 years of property investing was to come back to property investing. We had stepped away for about, I don't know, about 6 years. We hadn't done anything in property, certainly never with the deliberation that Julie's spoken about. But this time we came back with deliberation and restarted our property journey in 2015. And what I would say is, if you're looking for freedom, you might just have to put a bit of work in up front. You might just have to put a bit of work in. And that means discipline. So you need some discipline in there, and maybe some structure, some process, or a map or a plan. You need some discipline. And the second thing I think you've got to do is to take some risks. I think you've got to do those things that other people choose not to do in order to be free. And I think that's what we've managed to do over the last 7 or 8 years, is to be fairly disciplined and moderate in what we're seeking to do, but determined in the way that we've gone about it. And like I say, taking some risks, and things don't work out. We've had a couple of investments that have seriously not worked out. And you could almost weep at times from those. And you learn the lessons, don't you? You learn the lessons from them. But what I would say to you, and this is easier with hindsight than perhaps in the moment, is just start from where you are. If something goes wrong, okay, take the lessons, but just start from where you are, okay, because that's all you can do. You can't change the past. Just accept the past. Start from where you are and return, you know, with that kind of disciplined approach. But like I say, that spreadsheet, that was the key to unlocking it for us, Tom. Kath, I don't know if you want to step in.
Yeah. I think you've kind of you've done a good summary, as usual. I think there's a few things about the freedom. When I started in my being driven by freedom, it was probably when I was in my 20s. And it was actually seeing a presentation, which some of you might know, Amway. And it was that was the thing that put freedom in. The first book I ever read was The Magic of Thinking Big. And it was the first book that actually I realised there was a different way to living life. You know, and I think when you suddenly realise that there's a different way and all these options are open to you, it's quite a moment in time for you. It's been an interesting journey since then. And my definition, I think for me, it was time. I wanted to be where I wanted to be when I wanted to be there. I had a very, very strong driver behind that. There was a certain thing going on in my life. And I wanted the choice of where to be. And that's always been my biggest thing, time. And obviously, there's all these different aspects as you go along. So you build, you know, your financial freedom alongside it. There's been some interesting things that have already been shared this morning. I think some of those things are pain points. You need pain points along the way. Otherwise, you never do anything. If you get too comfortable, that's certainly been my experience. If you get too comfortable at any point, it's like the dog, isn't it, lying on the nail? You won't actually move. It's a bit of grumbles a bit, but you don't do anything about it. So we do need pain points, I think, in order to actually shift us into doing something. And my definition, as I've gone along, has changed in terms of what freedom means for me. And I think at this point in time, I'll probably say, freedom is not being confined by the patterns in my head and what others say and have said. And it's being free to choose for yourself. Because so much of what I've discovered as I've gone along is the things that I was driving for were actually not really for me. It was things that I thought I wanted because of what other people had and what I've seen from other people at times. And I've learned along the way. I've chased a lot of shiny pennies, but it's like getting really... back to basics. It's about me and it's about kind of what gives me joy in life, because all of what we're doing is serving that that sense of how we're living our life, and are we living our best expression of us, you know, individually. The people along the way, for me, you know, the people I've met, it's been incredible. And it's those relationships with the people, being inspired by, you know, people like you and these kind of events. It's all about that kind of thing for me. It was just really the, on that side, it's like, is it right for you? Is it still keeping you in your expression of you? The other thing I'd say, sort of on a more practical level, is definitely so much of what's been said. There's brilliant people in this community. Steve Day, Josh Keegan have been mentioned already, and there's many others, and have helped from so many people. And we do need others. No man is an island, so you do need to find the right trusted community, I believe, to find what you need in order to move you along. And you'll find as well as you go along, that as I have, that I can also contribute into that space as well. Knowing your numbers and getting them on paper is massive, and coming back to basics all the time, because when you get comfortable, you suddenly it's like, oh yeah, I'm comfortable. And did you actually document those figures again? Did you check in on them? That's been so important for us. And the pipeline income, there was a book I read years ago, Parable of the Pipeline, and it was like, ah, okay. So yeah, property is a very efficient vehicle, but it's one of the vehicles we use, and we're sort of diversified within the property space, but we also have other types of investment from the financial perspective as well. Discipline, because I think probably the last thing I want to say is discipline. Discipline is so important, but it's one of the things I fought against so much, because I thought freedom and discipline were like opposite sides of the equation. So it's like, I don't want to be disciplined by anybody. But actually, it's like, it's really learning the lessons you go along, that if I don't discipline myself now, I'll be disciplined by somebody and something else for the rest of my life. So it's getting that comfortable with your own rhythm. Maybe we need a different word, because words are too easy to put, to attach labels to. But that whatever that discipline is for yourself, getting good with that and getting it so it feels good for you is really important in creating your freedom. That's me. Thank you.
Excellent. Thank you very much, Howard. And obviously then Kathy, in case people listening weren't sure which way around he was. I'm pretty confident it's fairly clear, but just in case. And I really liked all that. But a different approach, like, okay, we need to be happy. What we're going to do? Let's create a spreadsheet. I like that as an idea. And of course, it's a different approach, but it's a very sensible approach, right? You know, what's the money flows going to be if we do nothing? What's the baseline now? And then what we need to do to change that. And it might be when you do your spreadsheet, you're like, the baseline now is, well, no money's coming in. I've got no job. I've got no property. I've got no damn all. Well, then, okay, fine. Well, then that's the good news. It's not going to take you long to write the spreadsheet. That's the real win here. But then as you build things, as you maybe put a single let into the portfolio or sort out rent or a lease option, which, by the way, don't need to cost a lot of money, then that spreadsheet's going to change pretty rapidly, right? Because you've now got sort of an exponential growth curve, hopefully, or at least a linear growth curve, as in you'll get that 300 a month, 1,000 a month, whatever it might be forever. Well, it doesn't take many of those before suddenly it's got sorted out. And maybe you've got a little bit of a pension pot, maybe you've got an inheritance, although it's always a bit sad pop. Not I'm saying Howard and Kathy did this, by the way, but saying, oh, I might get an inheritance in the future and popping that in your spreadsheet. But that's the reality of life, and sorting that out, then what sounds to me like a hideously tedious job, but if it leads to what you want to get to, then that's important, isn't it? And great. And I found that really inspiring. Okay, I'm going to share a few thoughts, and then inevitably running behind, but that's, you know, that's the way it goes. I might run 5 or 10 minutes over today if anyone needs to leave. That's absolutely fine, of course. But I want to get at least squeeze a couple of questions in for the speakers. And I just wanted to share a few thoughts of my own first, which is, to put mine in context, me and the wife are moving to Spain, gonna have a long holiday in Spain, at least for a couple of months, starting next week. So that was one thing that when Julie suggested this topic, I was sort of thought, well, this is timely. So that's a bit more location freedom for us, and that's something I've been talking about doing for a couple of years. So really excited to get that sorted. In case anyone's thinking, especially on the podcast, hang on a minute, does this mean the whole thing's collapsing, the podcast and coupling things? Absolutely not. It does mean I won't be so much at the face-to-face meeting, but I'm going to make sure somebody's there to sort of say hello, and obviously that'll carry on exactly as normal. And then the good news with with Zoom and whatnot is it still works in other countries, as can be seen from the fact that lots of people are checking in from, I think we've got more people checking in from abroad today than we have from the UK, which is great. We're certainly about 50-50. So I'll move from one of the domestic to the international crew, and everything will carry on as normal. So on to speaking about freedom, and when I was thinking about it, it struck me, it doesn't all come at once, and also no one tells you when it's arrived. So I probably had location freedom for a few years, and you could probably argue nothing arrives in the mail to say, hey, by the way, you've got location freedom now because you're making 2,000 or 3,000 a month, whatever it might be for you, so you don't actually need to be here anymore. And like Julie was saying at the start, maybe that comes sooner than you think. Maybe you could build the whole portfolio remotely if that was what you wanted to do anyway. I do think that you have to believe it a little bit and keep grafting whatever that freedom is that you're pitching for. You need to have a little bit of self-belief, you know, you need to be the beacon, and then you need to keep working at it. I thought about how Howard was saying he worked from 16 to 16, was happy in that work. And I was thinking about my sister, who's a teacher, and I was thinking she'd be miserable doing the work I do, and likewise, I'd be miserable doing the work she does. And there's different kinds of people in the world. And I think some people, so again, it's good, worth checking in with yourself. You might be the kind of person, she loves being a teacher, and she'd hate to have to be financially free, which, let's face it, means sitting at a computer for a long period sometimes, especially when you're first starting out, and going and looking at ratty houses and trying to buy them slightly cheaper than they should be bought for. That would not make her happy at all. So, you know, check in with yourself and decide what kind of freedom you want, because she would not want financial freedom in the sense that, you know, the property sense of passive income and all that sort of stuff. She's perfectly happy doing what she's doing. Thanks very much. And so, linked to that, you can't have freedom from everything. Or at least, I'm not sure you can, and I'm not sure you'd want it. So you need to make some choices. I was thinking about Watson Babasson because my contrarian mind went to, well, we talked about time freedom, location freedom, and financial freedom. What about other kinds of freedom? What about property investing freedom, as in freedom from property investing? Well, you can have that if you want. Obviously, like I think Kathy talked about, there's lots of different ways of skinning the cat here. Lots of different ways to, you know, people in stocks and shares, aren't they? And I met a guy the other day who invests in NFTs, non-fungible tokens, full-time, and that's a passive income of sorts. So there's different ways of doing this. All that comes down to knowing who you are and what you want. I put about tenancy freedom. That I thought, what kind of freedom would I most desire? And for me, it's probably tenancy freedom. Freedom from tenants. Freedom from tenants calling me at 3 a.m, telling me that their bulb in their fridge is broken. Now, I've got to say that happens less and less, and I'm working on it because it's an important freedom to me. And like Julie said, you know, we for her, it was important the phone didn't ring. Well, for me, it's important the phone rings a bit less, at least. And I've got to say, it doesn't ring that much, but There's two ways of achieving, I worked out, tenancy freedom. One is don't have any tenants, and two is make sure that someone else is dealing with them on your behalf. And I prefer the second one, because with the second one, you know, they get the income as well. Where am I heading with all this? Well, I was thinking about what's the main type of freedom for me. Ah, no, before I get to that, lastly, so one obvious question that comes out, that's good, that Tom, you've come up with those new kinds of freedom as well as the ones we're talking about. How do I know which ones I want? There's lots of different ways, but the good news is I think the easiest one is that we're all blessed with the power of imagination, and that the same neurons fire when you imagine something as when you do something, which is why athletes sort of run races in their head, because it fires the same neurons, and you have to get the physical benefit and also the mental benefit of practicing the race without actually getting exhausted. You can do the same thing. So if, for example, you're not sure what kind of freedom you want, imagine, which is what I did, imagine, I'll use my example, booking a flight to Spain to go on an extended holiday for a couple of months. I felt great doing that imagined activity and thought, that's good, I need to do that. So I did. But you might sit there and think, right, I want time freedom. And you imagine having all this time, a whole day opening up in front of you with nothing planned in it, and it might find it terrifying, at which point, don't do that. So that can be a great way of practicing for free what kind of freedom you want. Lastly, and to round up my stuff, I was thinking about, again, you know, other than tenancy freedom, what kind of freedoms would matter most to me? And by the way, I'm not sort of belittling financial freedom, which is kind of often the underpinning. If you have the financial freedom, often you then have the freedom to do the rest of them. It kind of opens the door. But I thought that the freedom that I'd value the most would be the freedom from the doubt that I'm doing the right thing, the freedom from the guilt that I might not be fulfilling my destiny without, again, getting a bit too Braveheart again. I've done very well not quoting Mel Gibson, so leave me alone. And that all comes down to me is the old Gandhi quote about happiness is when what you think, what you say, and what you do are in harmony. Well, that the freedom to have that would be my chosen freedom if you offered me all of them, because then I'd be able to I'd be free of the it's getting a bit deep here, but I'm getting close to the end, so bear with. You'd be free from the tyranny of your own mind, which is much more valuable than me than sitting on a beach. You know, the idea that I've gone out there and achieved what I wanted to achieve, and managed to fulfill what I wanted to fulfill, and felt like I've done the best I could with the tools I had, is for me the ultimate freedom. As I say, more so than sitting with a sangria on a beach. So that'd be the one I'd choose. So, you know, good luck achieving that. There we go. Woo. Right, a couple of quick questions, and then we'll wrap up. One of the questions, a lot of the chat, which is understandable because it's one that often occurs to people, is around, and this is a location freedom type question, I guess, is around tax, which is always a bit, tricky, isn't it? Because I don't want to be asking anyone any, you know, tax questions on a podcast, not least when it none of it constitutes financial advice. But someone asks, when you're resident in another country, aren't there taxes that you need to pay for that country as well as the UK, i.e. tax on worldwide income, etc.? Anyone want to have a stab at that without obviously, no need to tell anyone anything else about their tax affairs, of course, but just general answer to that question. Julie?
Yeah, I think it's something that if you're gonna live overseas or travel, because there's two ways of doing this, right? Isn't there? You can actually relocate to another country and live there permanently, and then or you can travel. But any which way, you definitely do need to take tax advice. But also, you know, you can choose to be, you know, you can choose to be tax resident wherever you want to be. But definitely take advice on it. It's not something to take lightly, really.
Yeah, sure, I agree. And I'm not an expert, but I know, for example, like in Spain, you need to be a bit careful because there's asset taxes. So if you get caught in that trap, then you end up paying, I think it's, again, none of this is, you check it out for yourself, but I was reading roughly over 1% of your assets every year might get taxed. So, but there's plenty of treaties in place. I was reading the other day that there's treaties for a lot of countries, including, for example, Japan, where basically the treaties are put in place so you don't get double taxed. And so it's not like it's these issues are insurmountable, especially as we say, you sort of go and speak to a professional about your particular circumstances.
And I would also say as well, you know, it's about visas as well, again, depending on where you're going to live. Just because you're going to live somewhere for 6 months doesn't, you know, depending on the visa that you get is going to affect your taxes as well. So if you do more traveling than residing somewhere, which is what we're doing at the moment, traveling, changing countries every few months, it is all about the visas of the place that you're living in.
Excellent. Absolutely right. And Howard made the same point about double taxation countries in the chat. So yeah, all the stuff. Thanks, by the way, for everyone saying they really enjoyed the talks and whatnot. Shiona said it was a great talk, and etc. You get the idea. It's all amazing. So that was that. And then I think a brilliant question to perhaps wrap up on, and I'd put this to candidates 1, 2, and 3, please. Comes in from Neil, who asks, what's the biggest challenge you've had to overcome when running your business in the UK from outside of the UK or remotely or whatever it is? I guess Howard and Cathy haven't had to do that because they're in the UK. But I know Sam's backwards and forwards, but why don't we, that seems like a good question. Why don't I start in the order they went? Julie, what's your view on that?
I don't know, because I've always run my property business from outside of the UK. I mean, I did buy a few properties, or like one or two properties, when I was in London just before we left the UK. But I don't want to say I'm a Pollyanna or too positive, but I'm running my property business whilst having the lifestyle that I really want. So any challenge or thing that comes up is just solvable to maintain, you know, the living in the way that we want to live. So sorry, I can't answer any better than that.
It's a good answer. I like it. Sam?
I think for me, the biggest challenge is sourcing properties. And that's because I don't have a team. I don't have a process systemized. But previously, I was on the ground speaking to agents, walking the streets and so on. And at the moment, that's something I need to work on.
Interesting. Howdy, Cathy. Although, well, you're away a lot, aren't you? You travel a lot as well. So do you have a view on that?
I guess we are. I mean, so a lot of what we do, we can do from overseas anyway, which is fine. But I think Sam's just hit the nail on the head. It's the same. The challenge is running a business, isn't it? Turning what you do from you doing it to a business where it is done within the business. It isn't you doing it. Your job is to, if you like, to take that step up into the green space that Sam spoke about, not the kind of red and amber space. And letting go is always going to be the challenge as you step up in those levels, I would think. And I think if you can do that, if you can step out of the business and let others step in, they'd probably do it better than you for a start. I guess it doesn't matter where you are.
Yeah, my answer. Thanks, Howard. Excellent answer. My answer to that question would be: ask me next week when I'm going to be abroad. But I've been abroad when I'm doing stuff, and obviously tried to systemize whilst I'm here so that it's easier there. And I'd say the hardest one, and this is me being a bit tiny bit facetious, not least because Julie's proved it can be done and done well, is signing documents. Some solicitors still require wet signatures on documents. Now you could say, don't use those solicitors, and I'd go, yeah, maybe that's the solution here. But it's surprising how in the legal process of stuff, how often that can still kind of trip you up. I think in 5 years' time, what I've said will be a nonsense. So if you're listening to this in 2027, skip forward over this bit. But I think just for the next few years, while some old firms kind of get used to the idea, that's one I've struggled with. Mark says, he says two useful things, interesting thing. He says, more and more people moving to Spain, we need to have a couple of subsidiary meetup, which I think is an excellent idea. Someone needs to work out, get on Google Translate or speak Spanish and work out what cuppa is in Spanish. If there is such a word, it may not translate very well. I'm gonna answer a question that Mark asks, again, another one, which is around, I wonder, I'm gonna ask this because I feel smug that I know the answer, or at least a bit of the answer. He says, "What I wonder what happens if you keep traveling and you don't spend much more than 6 months in any country. Does it mean you don't pay any tax?" No, unfortunately. It means you pay tax in your home country. You become what's called a permanent tourist. And I think it's more than 3 months. I'm not sure about 6 months. But if you're just on the road, you know, a stick, spotted handkerchief, the whole bit, all year, every year, I think you become a permanent tourist. You're not I'm gonna get these words wrong about domicile and resident and all citizen and all this, but basically you're not resident anywhere, but you are domiciled, or you count as a tax bod for your home country and you pay tax there. I think, always take financial advice. No, this constitutes financial advice. So that's useful. And then that's amazing. I really appreciate everyone sticking around. Really appreciate everyone listening on the podcast and so on. I thought I'd go over to Julie for a final thought and put her on the spot because it was your idea. I just want to see if that session kind of taught you anything or you learned anything or you had a final thought for people about freedoms generally.
Oh, well, gosh, put on the spot. Yes. I definitely learned something from it. What I loved was the perspectives that everybody, the different perspectives that we've all come from, you know, and just thinking about freedom differently. You know, I loved Sam's, just do something every day, right? You know, small something every day. I thought that was really great. I loved the quote Howard and Kathy said about freedom and discipline aren't on opposite sides of the equation. And some people think they can. I haven't realized that before, but it's so true, right? You know, freedom and discipline, they aren't opposite, you know, that was really powerful for me. And I loved what you said, Tom, about using your imagination and, you know, your synapse is firing when you think about something. If it lights you up, then do it. And I think the kind of like the theme for me from all of it was, you know, it can be done. And if you want to, you know, if you want to do the freedoms differently, then you kind of just need to believe it and then go for it. So good luck.
Yeah, excellent. That thing I said was amazing. You're quite right. I'd like to thank everyone. So that's our speakers, Julie Talbot, Sam Gaskin and Howard and Kathy for their amazing contributions today. Really appreciate them taking the time. Everyone here at the meeting as well for your contributions in the chat. It's been a real privilege. And for everyone listening on the podcast, thank you very much indeed. Now I'm going to do a little song while I find the stop record button. Bye bye.